Hey, what's up, everybody? Justin Ochoa back with another episode of the Gym Sessions Podcast. Today, we're bringing on my guy, Jordan Walker. He's a professional basketball player currently in Serbia right now. We go over his career journey, all the things that he's learned, all the peaks and valleys of his career. We go over his goals and his aspirations and kind of what he wants to get out of this next step. And obviously, this is season two, the Players Edition. So he is the first guest that we'll have of the season. Jordan has been training with me for about 6 years now since we opened the facility. And we've just gotten really tight over the years. Super proud to see where he is today and how far he's come in his career. And just thankful to be a part of his process. So again, this is the first guest episode of season two, Jordan Walker. Hope you guys enjoy. Welcome to the show, my brother, my athlete, my client, my friend, arguably one of the first pace athletes of all time. That's a debatable topic. Jordan Walker, welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it, bro. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I feel like this is the longest I've gone without seeing you in a minute. It's like you're one of the first guys to leave this offseason. So talk a little bit about, you know, where you're at, what you're doing out there, and kind of how it's been going so far.
It's been going good, bro. I'm in Belgrade, Serbia right now. I signed with FNP, so they had me out here August 1st. I've been out here for a little while, but it's nice, bro. I mean, like, it's super hot right now, but
yeah,
it's nice. Like, it's like a new Belgrade and an old Belgrade, so, like, the new area is really nice, like a waterfront and malls and stuff. So a lot of people, but it's really nice, bro, and I like it out here.
That's what's up. So yeah. Belgrade, I remember you telling me that's where Jokic is from. So
yeah.
Have you seen kind of like the basketball craze there, knowing that they have like a good upbringing, a grassroots program for their athletes there? Have you seen some of the young talent?
Yeah, bro. Like, you can be driving down the road and see, like, it'd be like a billboard of Jokic and like other basketball players.
But it's crazy.
Like the program I'm in, they said they have the best youth program in all of Serbia. So, like, it's a lot of guys, like EuroLeague players, that came up out of this program that I'm in, and they just kept going up and up. So, yeah, I can see it, bro. Like, basketball really a religion out here. And we've seen, like, little kids work out before our practice.
Yeah.
They be going hard. Like, hard, bro. They be going hard.
That's crazy. I love it. Hey, that's awesome, man. It's like one of the coolest things about, you know, working with guys like yourself and other international players and overseas players, that you guys come back and tell me stuff about, you know, just how it was in whatever country you were in. So to know that basketball is such, like, obviously it's a universal game, but certain pockets throughout the world have like these outliers where it's just like a hotbed for talent.
Yeah, bro. Especially like, I say Serbia, Slovenia, like where Luka's from.
Mm-hmm.
This around here, Croatia, Bosnia, Montenegro, this little area, they got some talent. They definitely got some talent.
Some players.
It shows when they come over to America too. So
that's what's up.
It shows.
Yeah. So let's get a little bit of your background, man. Like, obviously, I know you really well, but some of the listeners might not know you. Let's kind of go into your, you know, career, kind of starting where we met, which was probably 6 years ago now when you were at Morehead State, I think going into your junior year. Let's talk about your college experience, Morehead State. Just give an overview on kind of what led to that decision. How'd you end up there and how'd you like it?
Bro, it's really crazy. When I committed to Morehead State, I would get recruited by several different schools. And Sean Woods was the head coach. Like, the guy that, remember when Duke hit a buzzer beater before on Kentucky, like, a long time ago?
Yeah, he was the coach
who made the bucket for Kentucky. Then
Duke
came down and hit the buzzer beater.
That was Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he was the coach there. And we had an open gym at Cathedral, bro. I would never forget this day. It was early in the morning. And after the open gym, I went just to say, like, hello. Like, nothing too crazy. Just say hello. He said, "You gonna come play for me?" He looked me dead in my eyes and said, "You gonna come play for me?" And at first I was like, "Hey, I ain't know what you're talking about." But then I ended up committing, bro. Like, I don't know what it was. I committed. I went on a visit, my official, and then I just felt comfortable, bro. And then I was there for 4 years. So it was good. It was small, but it made me focus on basketball. Like, it was fun because, you know, college is fun when you're away from the parents for the first time. You get to you responsible for yourself. But and I just, it is what you make it, bro. Like, Morehead was, like I said, it was small. In the country, they say it was like 45 minutes from Lexington. So that's where we go get our haircuts and go to the malls and stuff. Mm-hmm. Other than that, bro, it was fun. It was fun. It was me making it for real. I mean, Jonathan made it 10 times fun too. Yeah, Jonathan was there, so he made it 10 times fun.
I was going to say, he'll be on this season of the podcast gang too. So we'll have to cross-reference some good stories between you guys.
Bro, we got too many stories.
Too many stories. So Morehead, obviously that's a solid mid-major program playing in the OBC, right? Mm-hmm. During your time there, there was several pros within your conference. Like, obviously John Morant was at Murray State. I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name from Belmont. Dylan Windler was at Belmont. So you're going against like top level talent pretty much day in, day out. What were some of the kind of the surprises that I guess shocked you when you got to college for the first time?
When you get to college, bro, like, everybody's good. Like, everybody's good. They just say like mid major or low major, high major, but everybody can rock. Like, everybody can rock out. And that was kind of like a shock, because it's just like going into high school from middle school. You looking up at dudes like, dang, like, y'all can hoop, like, yeah, that's how it was. Yeah. And then, like, we played against talent, so we played against Ja, Dylan, Terry Taylor. It was a point guard that came from Tennessee State. I'm blanking on his name. He ended up going to the league. Antonius Cleveland, he played in the league for a little bit. Now he's overseas for a EuroLeague team. But it was talent. Like, he was real hoopers that they know what they're doing. Just the circumstance, they was in a mid-major.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times it's more about fit too. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of the guys that you just named, including yourself, had multiple offers from schools of all different ranges. But it's like, where do you feel comfortable? Where are you going to fit? Where are they going to use you? How you want to be? How do you want to play? Like, that type of thing.
Right.
Ultimately, it worked out for you.
Yeah, for sure. I took advantage of the opportunity for sure.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, you guys had some solid teams. I think your senior year was the COVID year. So coming out, you're obviously looking to go pro, but the world is just in a weird spot. How do you think that like affected that first year out, the rookie year, just the general process of you looking to get to the next level?
It honestly kind of messed with my mental. Just because I thought I was like good after senior year. Everybody think you either going to the league or you going overseas. So I'm thinking I'm going overseas. It's already like set in stone going overseas. Mm-hmm. Then COVID came, shut everything down. I was about to get a job at Amazon. I couldn't find no job. And I was about to go to orientation at Amazon. My mom talked me out of it. And then I got a job, bro, January 2021. That's when I got my first job. I got my first job, but I was working the whole time because that's all I could do, bro. Like, at that point, I didn't have a plan B, because the plan A was like, we just got a plan A. We're going to stick to it so we don't have to have a plan B. And that's how it worked, bro. It was a rainy day. It was raining. It was raining for a long time.
I know. It was crazy.
Yeah. I took advantage of that first one.
Your first job was in Georgia. So talk about just like what was your expectations of your first job? Like, what did you think you were going to get? How was Georgia in relation to that? And then, you know, what was your mindset going into it?
Well, my first mindset when I got the deal was like, just take it because this is all I got. I mean, my agent telling me this is, you should do this, you take advantage of this because of other teams is taking other guys or the COVID situation. So I just took it, bro. Like, I didn't have no expectation. I just, the title of playing overseas, that's what it, that's what made me like want to go without expectation, like playing overseas. And then when I got there, it was totally different than my expectations. I mean, I got to play overseas, but like living conditions, the language barrier, like the food, it was just certain, like, stuff that I had to get used to as becoming an overseas player. And it really like hit me hard because for Georgia and the world of European basketball, they say that's the bottom of the bottom. And I was in the second division of the bottom. So I just had it. I had a hoop, bro. Like,
isn't that crazy to think about? Like, you're in the second division in Georgia, which they say is like the bottom of the bottom. Yeah. And now, not even now, you're in one of the top leagues in the world in a 2-year deal. You know what I mean? Like, just the progression that you've made. Let's talk about some of those stops along the way. Going from Georgia next season, going to Germany next season, being last season, going to Belgium, and then now where you're at.
I mean, like I said, Georgia, it was tough. It was three dudes in a 2-bedroom. Bro, it was a bed in the living room. Like, we was in there, like, for real, bro, we was in there. We had to do it. Like, I had, that season was only 2 months, so I had 12 games. I ended up being guard of the year. And then the next season, I went to Germany Pro B, which is third division. But I only took the opportunity because I was told I get to practice with the BBL team, which was the Hamburg Towers. Mm-hmm. So I did get to practice with them. And I got the opportunity of being a double license. So I played games with the third division team, but I practiced, bro, just about every day with the BBL team. I got to travel with them, got to learn from the coaches, and they didn't treat me like a third division player. They treat me like I was on the team. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage of that opportunity, played some Euro Cup games, made some connections with some good people, and then I hired a new agent and near the end of the season. Then he got me to Belgium, and that was my first time at a first division. But I took advantage of the opportunity too. So I had to do my thing out there. It was cool. Still living with people. I was living with people my first 3 seasons. And now I'm in the Alba League, which is a tough league. And I'm by myself. So like, as the process has been going, bro, like I can't complain about anything, really. Because all progress, like, I just be sitting here thinking, like, dang, I was in a 2-bedroom with 2 other dudes. Pause. But we was there, we was in there, bro. Like, we was, like, we was all in one, basically like this, bro, with another bed.
Yeah.
But it was no hot water some days. We lived on 9th floor. Sometimes the elevator not working. Like, it was rough, but
good stairs.
You gotta have the mindset, bro. I just wanna hoop and progress. Like, I gotta progress. And that's what I've been doing, bro. And I've been blessed with it, for sure.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's a lot of people don't know. Like, I want to kind of talk about the whole overseas thing, right? A lot of people don't know really what the market is like for overseas, especially, you know, certain circumstances. Like, you're coming out the COVID year, so there's not a lot of international travel. There's not a lot of financial stability in some of these cases. But even in a perfect world, like, a lot of this stuff is not what people think it is. A lot of people think that, you know, they can just come out and have a decent college career and then just go play overseas and make a shit ton of money. And that's just, it's not how it works. You just like anything, you got to work your way up and kind of talk about, you know, just what you've learned about the process along the way and being in it this whole time.
The first thing that I learned when I got over here is levels. Like, it's big time levels. You gotta be a person that can network, and you gotta be a good dude, because all these coaches talk, all these GMs, presidents, they all talk. When you're getting like trying to get a deal to go somewhere, they're going to call your coach, they're going to call your GM, they're going to call your agent. Mm-hmm. And just like recruiting for college, they're not going to ask them just about basketball. They're going to ask them, how is he as a person? How is he off the court? Do he like going out? Do he like, you know what I mean? Is he locked in? So,
right.
Those are the levels that you had to like, and the barriers that you got to get past, because dudes can come out of top schools in college and end up almost at the bottom of Europe. And they be like, I had all this made for the last 4 years, and now I'm working my way up. I thought I was going to get more money than this. I thought I was going to be living somewhere nicer, but hey, it's a grind. Like, some people can't do it, bro. Some people can't do it. They can't.
Some people are not mentally, it's up here a lot.
It's more mental than anything, bro, for sure. Because, like, for Americans over here in Europe, that's all you got is basketball. Basketball and your mental. Like, it's hard to, if you want to find an outlet, you can. But if you, like, locked in on it, bro, it's strictly basketball. You gotta be laser focused on it, like, for real.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's a job. You know what I mean? Like, this is your job, and you would be expected to treat any job with like respect to the grind and approach it as a professional. Just because it's something fun and cool like basketball doesn't mean that it's just like all just lax and loose. Like, you got to really lock in and take your profession serious.
For sure, for sure. The title of an overseas basketball player is not just a title. Like, it's tough. And it's steps to it. It's levels. Some guys got it better than other ones. But it's tough, bro. Like, it's really tough.
Well, the other thing is that it's cutthroat. Like, if you think about it, every year there's, 60 NBA draft picks. And then a handful of maybe G League draft picks, but a lot of those guys are coming from the training camps of the NBA teams. And then you've got your people that are already playing the previous year. And then you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of seniors graduating from college that are all thinking, okay, what's my next step? What's my next step? So let's say NBA is off the table, or American basketball in general is off the table. I mean, there's so many people coming for select amount of jobs. And then there's even different stipulations, like certain leagues can only have a certain amount of Americans on the team. Or, you know, some leagues are finessing it to get you a local passport so they can stack the teams. Like, it's very cutthroat. So if I feel like if you slip up once, or you just don't deliver on your end one time, like, that could be easily your way out of this profession.
Yeah, for sure, bro. And it's like networking, having a good agent that you can trust. Like, I mean, okay, having networking and an agent, being able to network and have an agent, that's only 50% of the battle, really. If he puts you in a position where he thinks you're going to shine at, and if you're not taking care of business, they will.
Yeah.
The first flight back to the crib. Like, you're not, it's over. You're not getting paid. You're not playing with us no more. And now you're at home. So it's really, you have to take care of your end, and then they got to take care of their end. So it just, bro, you just got to do it. Like every day I wake up and like, I got to do it. It's not like, okay, I get to do it. I get to play basketball and get paid to do what I love, but I got to eat. So I got to do it.
Yeah, it's like you just because you made it there, like what you did to make it there isn't going to keep you there. You got to keep leveling up, and you know what I mean? Like, this is stuff that we talk about all the time in the gym, but it's like the margin for error gets smaller and smaller every level you go up. Like, everybody's good. Like, you thought everybody was good in college. Everybody is good in the pros. Like, it's very competitive. So I've seen your game definitely evolve, obviously, firsthand from even Morehead State, even from last year or the year before. How do you think your game has like changed to better fit this like international style of play wherever you may be?
I say it. It's a better fit now because I don't have to do much to be effective. Like I can pick my spots. I can get there in two dribbles max. I'm gonna play defense. Like I'm more tactical because that's what these international coaches are. They're very, very tactical. Mm-hmm. So just learning from a lot of these different coaches and getting into my game. And then when I come home, like for the summertime, it's like, okay, I'm gonna step ahead because I don't have to move. I know the ball's coming right here. Or I just move over here and the ball's coming to me. So I just say, yeah, I got more efficient. That's what I say. I got way more efficient. And like over here, you're not drilled out. Like we don't do a lot of drills to get you out of a certain zone. Like it's all about being efficient.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So
I got to be more efficient.
In your league, like, and maybe you don't necessarily know yet, but you can speak on like other leagues. But I think a lot of people will be surprised on just like the scoring or, you know, the tightness of the games over there versus like we're used to NBA, you know, if you don't crack 100, mm-hmm. like that's weird to see. A lot of times some of these games in like the Euro League might be in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Obviously, sure. You know, there's a time clock difference too a little bit, but what – you know, what kind of roles have you played? I know you've been like the guy in Georgia where it's like, I need you to do everything. You got to score every basket. You got to D up. You got to get all the assists and we want you to rebound. And then every level you go up, they kind of change your role. But what do you think your role is going to be defined as like on the offensive end in this new league that you're coming up in?
I still say score because I think that's just – that's what I can do. That's me. Like I score, mm-hmm. but now it's like I said, being efficient. Don't do too much. If you get a ball screen, make the right read, get to your spot, mm-hmm. one or two dribbles, and then deal. Like I play defense, so I got that last year in Belgium. He make me pick up 94 feet, and now it's been installed in my head. So now it's we have to like I have to do it because it gets me going. So I think here. Just being a scorer, but also locking up. And I can do it, so that's what I'm going to do, too, for sure.
Are you going to be, like, primary ball handling point guard, or are you playing off the ball, a little bit of both?
I'll be a combo. We got a true point guard. We got a true point guard here. He went to Tennessee, named Lamonte Turner. Okay. Yeah, he's nice. Like, he's nice. He's a true point guard. Like, if you ever say a true point guard, he's a true point guard.
Yeah, that's always fun to play with too, especially as a scorer. Like, I know this guy's gonna set me up.
Yeah, and like, we can feed off each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We can feed off each other because he's vocal. He's just a leader, bro. Like, a floor general. That's what he is.
So, you mentioned like you play for a lot of coaches now through the ranks, college and pro. What are some of the things that you've learned from like this international style of play that you maybe didn't have or maybe didn't even know about or needed to refine as you're coming into each of these different situations? What are some of the things that you're pulling away from these coaches and the Europeans that you're playing with?
I'd say be quicker with your decisions when you got the ball. Because like I had a coach in Germany when I was on a double license. He said he had 0.5 seconds to make a decision, either shoot, pass, or dribble. So everything is so fast here. Like, dudes can kill you without dribbling. And these point guards, like in America, we have a lot of scoring point guards. But now in Europe, it's a lot of pass first to get the team in the right spots, point guards. So that's why I had to get comfortable with like having a true point guard. Or being fast with my decisions. And that's what I got from these European coaches because you can hold the ball for almost forever. Like, hey, you can just dribble. You can dribble the time out, the shot clock out when you come to America. But you come here, you dribble it out, bro, you're going to come out. You're going to come out for sure.
Yeah. Would you say, like, that's one of the biggest adjustments that you've had to make to your like, how you approach the game is just, like, making sure that you're conscious of this style of play or whatever country you're in?
Yeah, I could say like each country's been a little bit different. That's a like a tad bit different. Like Germany was, I'd say Germany was more, it was fast paced, get a bucket. In Belgium, it was a little bit more tactical. And now here is like be efficient because we got one, two, three, four, five. Like we have a few, we have a legit two people for each spot. And they're all the same role, so it's that's what it is now.
I was about to say, I mean, the level that you're at now and the league that you're at now, I would say probably a good majority of the Americans that you're playing against have had some type of NBA experience at some point in their career. What, how much do you think about like getting to the NBA? Or are you just like, I'm just gonna dominate everywhere I'm at and then let the cards play out however they do, or is like the NBA still a top goal of yours?
I mean, it'll forever be a dream, but like now I'm being more present. So like I'm gonna be matching up against some of these dudes that's probably making more money in Europe than they would be in the NBA. So it's like sometimes it's kind of different when I see it because like who just recently signed here? Shabazz Napier signed in this league. And I've been looking up to him like since I was little when he was at UConn, that's who I would. The side steps and step backs, the pull
Yeah, he
up,
was
that's
tough.
who, yeah. And he still got it. And so, like, I could say I kind of got a little bit of my game from him growing up, but now I get to match up with him. So it's like, okay, you made it, so why can't I? Like, and probably in his eyes, he never know. He probably think he didn't make it. So
True.
it's just a mindset thing, really, bro. But I'm just really trying to stay present and just be grateful for all these steps that I'm taking because I'm taking some big steps, big,
Facts.
like
Big
big
stepper.
steps.
And the
Facts.
but the crazy but the crazy thing is like you said, a lot of these guys might be making more money in Europe or overseas than they would in the NBA, which is true because if you think about it, like a lot of the NBA is about role, it's about fit, it's about budget. So you could be the top player in the Euro League or the one of those top leagues and just be the man, have the team run through you, have a lot of responsibilities, or you could go be kind of a practice player, two-way guy, role player in the NBA, maybe take a league minimum type situation with the, obviously the potential of saying, believe, I believe in myself, I'm gonna go take this and then I'm gonna turn it into something like a Max Strus or like a Gabe Vincent or guys like that. But it's like every one of those stories there's also 10 guys that didn't work out for. You know what I mean? So there's so it's just so crazy because it's like a little bit of luck too. Like some of this is just right place, right time, right agent, know the right person. Like it's out of your control to a certain extent.
Yeah, like I seen I seen two legit different EuroLeague, well, European play American players that the NBA offered them the minimum. And that was like, I'm not going to the league that make the minimum. I go over wherever I'm at and make a million. Like I'm not gonna do that. Because it's you wanna be like at the end of the day, they get to a point where you got family, you got a wife, you got people to feed, so you want security. And I mean, chasing a dream is cool, but if you're secure with where you at, we all different, bro. So I say, if you want to be secure, go ahead and get your money, and then just chill, save it. Like just sit in the house, save it like I do, for real.
Yeah, how's it been? So, how's it been like for the first time being over there, living alone, not having three roommates and sharing bathrooms and stuff like that? Like, how's your situation?
It's cool, bro, because I get the, you know what I mean? It's me. So I'll be
Yeah, you're
clean.
chill.
I don't got nobody in my ear. I can eat whenever I want to. You know what I mean? I don't gotta wait for my cooking. I don't gotta wait for the stall, I gotta wait for the bathroom. But at the same time, I be bored. I'm bored. I be in here bored out of my mind, bro. Like some days I just catch myself just looking at the wall, like, especially my off days, like, I'd be bored. If I wasn't on this podcast right now, bro, I'd probably be sitting on the couch, bro, just scrolling. Daydreaming, bro, like, for real. It'd be bad sometimes. I'd be on the phone with my girlfriend, like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, I'm like, cleaned up, cooked. I don't have nothing to do. But
hey, you might as well just go ahead and write some raps, man. Drop an album while you're over there.
See, bro, my rap career is going to come. It's going to come. The right time is going to come. J-Lon going to drop a mixtape on y'all. It's going to be nice. It's going to be well planned. But lately, I've just been in my journal. I've been reading. So I'm trying to get my vocabulary right so I can hit y'all where, you know what I mean? So facts. We can all be on the same page. I don't know what I'm going to rap like either. I'm probably rap like, no, I can't rap
I can
like
see you. I can see you rapping like a, I can see you rapping like a Larry June type.
Yeah. I could say that. I could say that. Because I can't rap like none of these other dudes. I don't live that type of lifestyle. So.
No, Larry Jones. People be like, J-Walk's lying. He's lying on his
face. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I probably like, Larry June, Primo Rice.
Yeah, Halo, I like that.
Giovanni, something like that.
Positive vibes.
Yeah, and for throw sure. a sprinkle of J. Cole in there.
Of course. Yeah. I love that. A lot of people don't know, man. Like, I would say, like, a lot of athletes in general, especially hoopers, like, they just love rap. Like, it's just like the culture is, like, intertwined. And it's really some rappers that can hoop and some hoopers that can rap. Like, even if it's just for fun, like, it's fun to do.
Yeah, because, like, I remember 2 Chainz dropped that one album called, what do you say, Hoopers Want to Be Rappers or Rappers Want to Be Hoops, something like that. And that little something in that area, but it's true, bro. Like, our cultures are everybody wanted to hoop growing up, but everybody wanted to rap. Like, we've seen the glamour of the rappers, and then the rappers see the glamour of playing in the NBA or hooping. Yeah. Like, it is. And sometimes it can be negative, sometimes it can be positive, bro. So, for real.
Bro, I was listening to Master P on some podcast. I mean, I remember, like, distinct, like, kind of like loosely growing up, being like 10, 11. He was in like the D League at the time, playing with like the Hornets D League team or something. Yeah. But then he was telling some crazy stories, bro, about like just, or no, it was DeMar DeRozan was telling a crazy story about Master P. He was saying Master P used to throw these parties because he would play AAU with Lil Romeo.
Romeo's son. Lil Romeo. Romeo.
And he said he would have these like parties and stuff, and then they'd be free, obviously, because they got the money. But then DeMar DeRozan was saying he'd be at the door charging like $10 a head and pocketing all the money.
Yeah, I'd do the same thing. That's the dude. Play in a preseason game with the Raptors, I think, one time.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, Master P, nice. Bro, he succeeded in just about everything he did. Like, if you think about it, like, dang, he really succeeded in rap, making movies. He hooped in the NBA.
Everything.
I saw him selling cup noodles.
Like, he got ramen noodles, all that. Him and Snoop got cereal together. Like, it's crazy.
Bro.
He's elite. He's a hustler.
He's a hustler.
He's a hustler. Yeah. All right, back on track. See, I told you I would get kind of, you know, me when I'd be rambling. what do you think your next step is? I know you're being present right now and just enjoying where you're at, but like, where do you see yourself? Like, your style of play? I know you're a very versatile player, super athletic. You can, you know what I mean? You got the athleticism of that anybody would dream of. So like, where do you see yourself going as like a next step if you do what you need to do here?
That's a tough question, bro, honestly. I just say maybe this league and maybe another league, but like on a higher budget team, you can say. Mm-hmm. You can say that. That's probably the next step. That's probably his next step.
Just like focusing on like the financial piece. And
yeah, because it's gonna get to the point where it's been like I'm taking advantage of all these opportunities, and I know whatever finance that I need is gonna come. So really, just if I get the chance to play on a bigger team, take it, because they see something in me. So obviously, I should take it.
And yeah,
I think just another three, four steps, jump, another jump. Just keep on jumping, bro.
Facts.
Keep on jumping and solidify myself in each of those jumps. Like,
yeah,
last year in Belgium, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know who I was. I came from third division Germany. Yeah, I played some Euro Cup games, but it was like 1-2 minutes. One game I've had like 16, but it's like they don't know what they're getting. So showing who I am and making them believe it, and then just keep doing it,
Yeah, I mean, we kind of brushed over the Belgium thing, but I think that BNXT league is a good-ass league. Like, I think that was really, really good for your career and your progress. Remind me what your numbers were in that league. You were averaging close to 20, right?
It was like a 17.8, 4 and 4, or yeah, something close to that. Like 52% from the field, 37 from three, and I don't even want to talk about the free throws. that's a work in progress right there. Yeah. We gonna get there.
What is it about free throws? Like, some people are just like, I don't know. It's like unlucky almost.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, bro. Like, when I miss a free throw, like, I'll do some shit. Like, look at my hands. And, I could be in practice, bro, and not miss one free throw, bro, for 2 hours straight. Get in the game and clank. I don't know, bro. I think it's more I got focused. I really just got to keep everything how I do in practice. And I get in the game, I just be feeling so good sometimes. Boing! You feel me? It just come off wrong. So I think it's more of like, it's really mental, bro. Just staying locked in.
Yeah. Free throws are like the easiest hard shot. You know what I mean? It's like, in theory, it should be easy, but they're so hard. Like, if you really think about it, it's like the perfect distance to where you don't have to jump, but you probably would jump if you were shooting a pull up from that distance. Right. And then it's like the lining up, like you got stuff behind the backboard for it seems like miles and miles behind the backboard. It's just a weird thing, man. I don't understand it. Like, it's one of those parts of the game that's odd.
I can't even like compare it to anything. Like, you can't even compare it to shooting a putt in the golf course, because that's harder than shooting a free throw. So shit, I might just start hezzying at the free throw line and shooting it like that. I'm gonna do a move and shoot that bitch. But and maybe it go in.
The crazy thing is also there's that element of like what just happened. Like, how did you get to the free throw line? So you know, you might have got knocked down to the floor. You spend 3 seconds on the ground. They're rushing you to the line. You're out of breath. Your hip hurts because you just fell on it. It's like there's a lot of stuff that leads into it where, you know, there's a reason you're on the foul line. And normally it's coming from some type of like harsh contact. So that also sucks.
Exactly. I had that happen to me yesterday in the preseason game. I went up for a layup. I got fouled. I fell hard. I slid all the way to the little, you know, the boards that got the they show you like the sponsors and logos.
The ads,
and stuff. Slid all the way, hit my head. I was sitting there for like 2-3 seconds. I got up and I was cool. Got to the free throw line. Clank. straight brick. Yeah, for real.
Brick City. Hey, that's what preseason games are for. It's coming.
Hey, yeah, you're right. It's all gonna come together. I'm in a shooting. right.
I'm yeah, you're going to get right. You're going to get right. Last year was a fluke. We're back.
Yeah. We going to, that was some BS. That wasn't Jaywalk at the free throw line. I don't know who that was.
It's crazy because you could average, you could average almost probably 20 plus.
Come on, making free throws. I could average, bro. next question.
Next question. All right, here's a good one for you. So we've talked a little bit, you know, about the difference between USA and European style of play. But what are some like skills that you've picked up from these players? Like, I know they've got USA, obviously, we got crazy athletes. We got a lot of skill training. We got crazy athletes. When you get the right combo, it's a really dangerous player. But I feel like a lot of European born players, they have like an immense amount of skill and just like little tricks and tips and hacks. Like, what are some things, little things like that, that you're picking up from some of these guys?
A lot of spacing. Just like when you say corner, get in the corner, like, and it's going to help. It's going to help you get a shot, but it's going to help the team get a shot. I could say one of the biggest things I had to work on coming over here was coming off the ball screen and hitting the corner with the hook, the one-hand hook pass. We don't really do that in America. Like, we don't look for that corner when you're coming off a ball screen. Like, we don't read the secondary defense because we're always looking to score first or we're looking for that pass to the big. But I got over here and they look over there, like, really look over there. So that and playing at your own speed, bro. No, don't let anybody speed you up. Like, if you see Luka playing, he plays at one pace and you cannot guard him. Yeah. Like, he's more like he tactical ball fakes, pass fakes. Just being able to pass, that's one of the biggest things that I had to, like, I've seen point guards who are going against other point guards. They can pass. Like, they can really pass, bro. They can really pass with both hands.
For you, a guy who's like, stupid athletic. Like, I mean, obviously, listeners might not know that, but like, we're talking like crazy athletic, probably one of the most athletic people that I've ever met. Going over there, how hard is it for you to like not just solely you for a certain point, you could probably just get by on athleticism. You can blow by guys, you can just lock people up. Like, how hard is it for you to manage that and be like, I'm going to use it in these circumstances, but I'm not gonna like make it my like I'm not gonna make my one my game one dimensional. I'm gonna like play at a different pace. I'm gonna look at these different reads, and then when I need to, I can tap into this like athleticism that I know that nobody else on the court has.
I had to get used to somebody being in the paint, bro, the whole time. Like in the NBA, the paint has to be open, but in Europe, they can legit sit in the paint the whole possession. So you got to go in there. You got to be able to Euro step or playoff two. I had to become a land lover, bro, because I was so into jumping over people, you know, taking a hit, dunking. And then now it's you got to use your floaters. You got to have touch. You got to use your hooks high off the glass. Like I said, Euro steps. And it's playing off two, bro, because these dudes is meeting you up there. Like some of these European guys, like these guys be tall, they be big, and some of them be like silently athletic. Like silently athletic. They meet you up there.
I mean, that's Luka, man. Like I think, I mean, obviously he's not like the most athletic example of that, but he's like sneaky athletic. The stuff he does is not all just trickery and pace. Like he's doing some, he's getting into positions and he's getting into like athletics postures that's like really hard to do.
Yeah, because he's been doing it for a while and you can tell like he's younger than me, I think. Yeah, or a couple months or something.
Yeah, I think he's like 24, so something like that.
He's been doing it for a while, bro. Like he's playing a European game since he was 18 when he won the EuroLeague MVP. Like, that's insane. That's one of the high. That's the highest level of European basketball, and you're the MVP as a teenager.
Do you have anybody, or have you had anybody in your career, like a young prodigy like that, that you've maybe played with or against, like a 16-year-old who's going pro that you think might be like kind of up next?
I haven't had anybody that young that I played against, but I say I did play with a guy. He was like 19 when I played in Germany. His name is Eustace Hollitz. Now he's playing with Efes in the EuroLeague, and he's only 22 years old. So I think that's about it, bro. That's about it. Because he's a 6'5 point guard.
That's tough.
Solid too.
So who are your favorite players that you like to watch and steal stuff from their game? Like who are the players that you learn from the most?
My first one be Dame. Dame, Kyrie, and then here in Europe I watch a lot of Isaiah Cannon. You remember him, Isaiah Cannon? He played for the 76ers for a little bit, and then he got hurt when he was in Phoenix. And now he's playing here in EuroLeague. Mm-hmm. Mike James is playing in EuroLeague. I'll say those four I watch a lot. But Dame number one, because his composure he got in the game. Like, he's chill. He get to his sidestep. He get to his shots. And it's all calm. Like, he can't be messed with out there. Like, chill.
He's like unbothered. For sure. Like, you're just out there. Like he doesn't even see you. I don't think guarding him.
Oh, okay. And Paul George. I can't say I'll take my game from Paul George. Bro. I just think he's so nice, bro.
Bro, me too. My number one regret in life is like my. So when PG left, you know what I mean? Indiana was like obviously like kind of like hard terms. Kind of like ugly breakup between the two, and I let my fandom of the Pacers get in the way for my like appreciation for the game, and so I went through a phase where I just like hated Paul George because I thought I was supposed to as a player, as a Pacers fan, and then I'm like, bro, he is so tough. Like the stuff he can do at 6'9" or whatever. I mean, he might even be taller than that, but like. Bro, he is probably one of the most skilled players in the NBA.
For sure. He got a handle, pull up, he athletic, and he can play defense. He gonna lock up too. Yeah.
Crazy.
He's nice, bro.
People, I'm embarrassed that I let myself.
I'm not gonna say Paul George is underrated, but in a sense he's underrated. Like I feel like people don't talk about his game enough because you can really like if you're young, you can watch Paul George. You can do what he's doing. You can really do what he's doing.
You can definitely do what he's doing.
Like, like some 100%. Stuff is kind of just like say Steph. I think only one person can be Steph. Like it's Steph Curry is one in a billion. But if you look at other guys, you can really implement them into your game.
Yeah, that's 100%. Like, and obviously you can take stuff from Steph too, but you can't do it like Steph. Like, you can't have the expectation. I look at guys like, I mean, realistically, like most people can't do it at the level of any of these guys, but you can pull from their bag, so to speak, and apply some of that stuff. Like, PG is doing very simple moves, like just done really well at the right time. And he's got maybe three or four moves. He's got drags, under drags, and then he's got shots out of them, and then hezzies out of them, and then crossovers out of them. And then he turns drives into post-ups really well. And it's like, that's really simple stuff. Like, anybody can work on that, and it can work at every level.
He got a crazy, like a hezzy to a punch cross. Like, he had a hezzy, and he had a punch between his legs, and he's already by you. Like, he did it on a... on that heat when he did the punch and he took one dribble and he took off.
And then
he got that.
Birdman.
Birdman dusty.
He's tough.
Man, Birdman dusty.
Yeah. I mean, I know PG's not gonna listen to this, but I just wanna have it on public record that I was wrong about everything I said about him. I was just being a Pacers fan, a hater. He's probably one of my favorite players, like, to be honest.
Shout out to PG for
the time PG, you had. Maybe we'll get him on one day.
You had with the Pacers, you gave us some hope. You did gave us some hope. But yeah.
They
didn't
want to
pay you, big bro.
Man, I was in there with my big ass yellow, my yellow tee, waving the flag, or all that.
They didn't
want
to pay you, big bro.
I miss
him. If I had the money, I'd give it to you. If you talk to him, let him ride.
Now he's got it.
Man, no, I said that.
Hey, all right, last thing before I let you go, man. We're going to put you on the hot seat. So just some rapid fire questions. You can go in depth if you want, or you can just do one word answers. Most of these are just kind of random stuff that I was thinking
about. All right, bro. Don't throw me off, bro.
All right, so this first one is kind of easy. What's your go-to pregame song or artist?
Damn. Can I say genre, bro?
Yeah, go genre for sure.
Genre like chill rap. I listen to too many people.
Do you have any like superstitions or basketball oriented like rituals that you do?
Every pregame I have to do my form shooting. I have to hit three in a row from the corner, well, like close to the basket, like on the left side, three in a row, middle three in a row, right side, three in a row. And if I don't do it, I'm going to stay there the whole pre warm up. I'm just gonna be there the whole time. Even in practice, I'm gonna stay right there the whole time. Yeah, I gotta do it.
All the greats have them. Living in so many different countries. Have you run into any kind of food that's popular in America that's not popular in America that you've really enjoyed in some of these other countries?
Yeah. Here in Serbia they got the stuff called in Georgia, it was stuff called hot chapati. It's like this bread with cheese and like an egg, and they like you mix it together.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds great.
And then here in Serbia,
that sounds great.
They got a this thing called chalapi. It's like a beef, but they like little links. Pause. And they come in like this bread, and it's fire, bro. Like, I don't even eat red meat much, but they say we getting that, or we going to a place that got that, I'm getting that.
It's going down. Yeah. I like that. All right, so we talked about rap and basketball going hand in hand. Let's say you're the point guard. You got to pick up four rappers to be on your team. Who you picking up?
Four rappers that can hoop.
That can hoop, yep.
My first pick, J. Cole. I'm Gilly the Kid. He be hooping. Gilly be hooping.
That's a slept on pick.
Who else can hoop that I've seen? I say 2 Chainz. I just seen him in high school. 2 Chainz in high school. Yeah,
he was cool. He played in college.
2 Chainz. And what's another one, bro, that be hooping? That's a good question, bro. Damn. That's a good question. Because I need a five, man. Can't say Shaq. Even though he be trying to rap and shit. Let's see. He be trying having a good one. I'ma just have to say, bro, I'm gonna have to say another guard. J. Cole, Gilly, 2 Chainz. I'm going to say Davies because he hooped in college. Davies. I'm going to say Davies.
Slept on. That's another slept on.
He don't even be showing that he can hoop, but I know he can.
I know. People know. He played growing up AAU with like Mike and Beasley, Kevin, yeah, KD.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm saying Davies.
Yeah, he's nice. And he could rap.
He's tough.
He could really rap.
Yeah, I got him in the playlist for sure. I got him in the rotation.
For sure. If you were not a professional basketball player, what do you think you would do for a living?
I'd probably still be in the world of basketball. Probably like an agent or something. Yeah, I'd probably be an agent. Another thing, when I had my little COVID year, I typed up a letter to send to Clutch Sports so I can be an intern. Because that was my major in high school, sport management. I was going to try to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to do everything, bro. I ain't going to lie. I was trying to do everything. But, yeah. I'd probably be an agent.
I can see you being an agent.
Yeah, being an agent.
That'd be tough. I can see you being an agent. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you
on the court? I got dunked on a few times, bro.
Happens to the best of us.
I'd say the most embarrassing one, because in Georgia, I was killing one guy at like 20 in the first half. And during that time when I was killing, I was going up for a rebound. I thought I was by myself. I'm just going up. All I seen when I went up was somebody's hand grab the ball and just and I'm falling. Like, I feel like that. I hit the little pad bro and everything. I got dunked on like bad. And they yelling and I'm like, dang. My mode of killing is like crushed. Like, it's over. Like, I just got dunked on.
I'm about to see if I can find that on Synergy.
Yeah, bro. I think I sent it to you, bro. When it happened, I think I sent it to you.
Hold on. I might have vaguely remember this.
I got dunked on bad.
Because I do remember this.
Yeah, I got dunked on.
You had to get ahead of it. You got to just send it out and just get it out
there. Yeah,
you
know, bro.
This is good PR.
I got dunked on. But I've been dunked on a few times. Like,
all right. Start one, bench one, cut one. Mm. 5 guys. Steak and shake. Shake Shack.
Start 5 guys.
Yeah.
Bench Steak and Shake. Cut Shake Shack. I don't go to Shake Shack for the burger.
I agree.
I go for the chicken sandwich.
I agree. The chicken sandwich, I never had it, but I could imagine it's pretty good.
Yeah, 5 guys.
Shake Shack's not bad. It's just not. Yeah. No, 5 guys is crazy. Yeah, no. Like, that's a very Midwestern question, too. Like, that's like the top 3 in the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah. We had a 5 guys in Belgium. And I for sure.
Ooh, I knew you was going crazy.
I miss it. Yeah, I miss it.
Last question right here. Top 5 hoop shoes of all time.
Oh, okay. Kobe 5. 1. What's it? What Giannis number is it? I want to say the Giannis, the Greek Freak 2 with the big swoosh on the side.
The big swoosh? Like the backwards on one side?
Yeah. Those.
Tough. Yeah, I like those. Comfy.
What's that? What were they called? Hyperfuse. The Hyperfuse. I remember Rajon Rondo had a couple of different PEs when he was with the Celtics. That pair.
I remember those.
I can't say any Jordans because they messed your feet up. Probably the Crazy 8s. The Crazy 8s are surprisingly comfortable. They're just kind of heavy.
Ooh.
They're kind of heavy, but they're really,
early they're really Kobe's.
Comfortable. They're really comfortable. And those GTs, the Nike GTs. The first one.
GT
yeah,
cuts.
The first one. First one. Top 5. The first one.
That's a solid 5. That's a solid 5. Actually, I played in Crazy 8s.
Yeah, bro.
Back in the day.
I did too.
Those are nice. Cups,
they
are
heavy.
Those are nice.
That's the only thing. They're kind of heavy.
Yeah. They're heavy now, but like when I was wearing them, like what, 10, 15 years ago, that was like the norm. Like the Barclays, we had the, I had some Barclays too, that same concept. That's like, I liked them, but they were heavy as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, at the end of the day, these are made for Charles Barkley, and he's huge. Yeah. And I'm not like,
And I say honorable mention, the Kobe 6, the Kobe 6. I can, I could definitely take out the Kobe 5 for the 6. I'll say 6 instead of 5.
Yeah. Those are interchangeable. That's what's up, man. Nothing too crazy on the fire round, man. I just wanted to get some quick Q&A before I let you get out of here. If you want to drop like your social media or anything you got coming up that you want people to know about, go ahead and plug that for sure.
I can just say my social media is at jwalk.underscore on Instagram. I think my name on Twitter is humble_walk. I think so. But man. Elon Musk, he crazy. Oh. But dude, crazy, bro. I don't know what's wrong with him. but I really don't got nothing coming up planned. But I will have some like day camps and like some drives coming soon, because I got to get my brand going, especially for what I'm doing now. I can start building a brand behind my name. So I'll have some day camps, some clinics, some drives. The only thing I got planned up is just helping out. Like, I'll be helping out the community. I'll be helping out. Yeah,
I like it.
It's the only thing planned.
I like it. I appreciate you, man. It's good
catching
up.
Yeah, I appreciate it, bro. For sure. I think my second podcast, but I enjoyed it, bro. I enjoyed this one.
We got some good info. It's going up soon.
I like kicking it with you, bro. You big bro.
My guy, man. I appreciate you too, bro. And that was another episode of the Gym Sessions Podcast with my guy Jordan Walker. Great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you follow him on social media and stay tuned to all the things that he has coming up. He has a super bright future, so I know that he's going to continue to make these jumps and leaps in his career, and I just can't wait to watch and can't wait to cheer him on and continue to be a resource for him. If you guys are new here, please go back to last season, season one. We had a great amount of podcasts from trainers to coaches, doctors, athletes, you name it. We had a ton of resources in season one. Season two is all about the athletes, so stay tuned for next week's episode. We have another special guest on, and I once again appreciate you guys so much for tuning in.